We've had a great day of looking at learning design and LAMS and many things related to it, and I'd like to particularly thank all those who presented today. I appreciate it takes a lot of work to prepare and get ready for these kind of conferences, so thank you to everyone who's done that. In this final session, I'd like to tell you a little bit about some of the new things going on with LAMS, give you an update on some of the things we've done recently, and also reflect on some of the bigger picture questions of LAMS. And unlike the original program, which said we would end at 5 o'clock, which is an hour and a half from now, I won't talk for 90 minutes. In fact, we'll go your halves on that and finish at 4:15. So what I'm going to talk about is, firstly, I've got two partner announcements, new partners who will be helping us as LAMS International to support people around the world with LAMS. I then want to talk a little bit on a more sort of fundamental theoretical question, and that is the issue of curriculum frameworks or learning objectives and so on, and how they might relate to learning design. And I'm going to make an argument that essentially there's a great virtuous circle between these two things. And this is relevant in many contexts, but particularly in Australia at the moment, with the rise of a new national curriculum for schools. I think it's a sort of a timely moment to reflect on this. I'll then talk about some of the LAMS developments for those of you who sort of come along once a year to get a quick snapshot on what new things have happened recently and some of the excellent new features, so I'll run over those. And then I have two new systems that I'll be launching today, and so I'll be giving you some demos of those so you can see what we're up to, and a few final thoughts. So firstly, I have two partners. The first one is not able to be with us here today, but Eduardo Montefusco from Italy is our new Italian LAMS partner. For those of you who don't know, we have partners in a number of countries. There are currently four around the world, including in Singapore. Paul Gagnon is here today from Nanyang Technological University, also in China, the US, a range of other places. But Eduardo has been working in LAMS in Italian now for many years and has been leading the translation of that. And he has now become one of our official partners, and so he'll actually be providing LAMS training courses in Italy. He'll be giving them in Italian, which means I won't know what it is he's saying, but we are certain that there will be good things about LAMS. And I thought I would just share this quote from Eduardo about his perspective on LAMS in Italy. We see great potential for LAMS in Italy, both for school and for university. In particular, high school teaching needs personalised curricula with a flow of structured tasks, including those of a collaborative nature. Personalised curricula and e-learning management are very useful for the educational activities of support and recovery. And so he'll be working in many years. He also works in primary school and with others. But we're delighted to have LAMS Italia, which is the name of the company, come on board as a new partner of ours. So that's the first one. The second one, I'm also pleased to announce that Civica Library and Learning, which Civica is a very large company that works in many areas, and their library and learning division has been a major player in the world of library systems and more recently also in e-learning and education systems, particularly in schools but also in many areas. And Civica have become the first partner to license our new LAMS Activity Planner, which I'll be telling you about a little bit later on, and have also made a significant contribution towards the development of the LAMS software. So Glenn Maloney, who is from Civica, is here today, and I've asked her just to say a few words for you about Civica and about their joining us as a LAMS partner. Thank you, Glenn. And I must say I've been delighted to work with Civica. From time to time, you will probably appreciate various commercial companies come to me and say, hey, this LAMS thing you've got, could we do something with that? And some of those discussions go along the lines of, the problem is the open source bit. Could we somehow get rid of the open source and then we could cut a deal? So, the answer to those discussions is, well, no, open source means it's open source. I was delighted that Civica's, opening discussion was, we love the open source and we would like to help support that open source. We would like to see you develop it further and to help the wider community through our contribution. What benefits us, we'd like to see that benefit everyone. And that is just, the ideal way that a large commercial company can get the benefits of open source and in a way that benefits all the others who are part of that same community. So my thanks to Civica, and we look forward to working together. All right, so now I want to talk a little bit about curriculum frameworks and learning design, and I need to start out with a kind of terminology point. There are so many different words and phrases that get used in this area, be it curriculum frameworks, learning objectives, learning outcomes, competencies, the sort of knowledge, skills, understanding, set of things people might learn, quality teaching. I could go on for quite some time. None of these things mean the same thing, and especially in particular contexts, they may have very special meanings. But if you travel as I do and work across many different levels of education, higher ed schools and so on, and different countries and states, what you find is these all kind of just mush together into a fairly unclear set of terms. But there is something fundamental there about the kind of frameworks we use to describe where we're headed with learning. And there's both a kind of content dimension of that. What are we trying to get you to learn in science or in mathematics or in English? We could start to describe a curriculum for schools or in other areas. What is that content? But in many places, there's also a strong emphasis on what we might call generic skills or general capabilities, things like teamwork, critical thinking, the ability to collaborate, these skills that we also want as part of these curriculum frameworks. And I share the view that some people try to talk about these separately. We can talk about just the content over here, and then we can talk about just the generic skills over there, and then somehow they'll come together, in practice. In my experience, it's often very hard to talk about them abstractly, but when you say, all right, if I take this particular topic and I try and show you how the teaching of that content together with these general skills goes together to make an exciting lesson, then it all sort of comes together. When you try and tease it out, it gets a bit too abstract. So that's just a sort of one of my personal views within this area. So I think it's worth asking, how then does this sort of whole world of curriculum frameworks and things like that relate to this other world of learning design? And to take a local example within Australia, as I mentioned, we have a body called ACARA, the Australian Curriculum and Assessment Reporting Authority, which is the new national body to take forward our new national school curriculum. So for those of you from other countries, we have a number of states and territories within Australia who have traditionally had their own completely different school curriculums. They teach different topics, they teach in different ways, they have different objectives and assessment outcomes. We have, for the first time just recently, decided that we will now try and get one overarching national curriculum and sort of framework, which our states and territories will still implement in their own ways. There will still be variability and innovation, but within some larger goal. And within that, there are seven initial areas that are being worked on, but also there are these 10 general capabilities, literacy, numeracy, ICT skills, thinking skills, creativity, that we hope to embed sort of across all of these areas. And so partly because that's a very timely issue here in Australia for schools, but also it comes up in many other places. Less so in universities, not that it never turns up, but certainly schools, vocational training, corporate training, this is often an issue. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that today and how I see learning design playing into it. And I think there's sort of an obvious way in which this works, and then there's something a bit more subtle, but for me, in fact, quite fascinating. You can have your framework that says, right, we're going to teach science, we're going to try and foster these generic skills, lay that out, and then you could say, all right, well, here is a learning design, here's a lesson plan, that would be a way of teaching that particular topic. And so you can kind of imagine it cascading down high-level goals, high-level objectives or competencies, discipline areas down to the level of, right, well, here's a lesson plan that would work for this week or this, today and so on. So that's one, and to me, a sort of obvious way that a LAM sequence or any other kind of learning design can be connected through to some overarching curriculum framework. Let me try and make that a little bit more concrete. Let's say we took a topic in a science, typically, say, secondary level science, so students about 16 to 18, trying to understand what are the risks of climate change. We hear a lot about climate change. But what are the risks and what does that mean? Well, there would be certain bits of sort of core science knowledge that students would need to look at in that. They need to look at some chemistry, you know, how does CO2 actually behave, what's the risk there. There'd be some physics probably, you know, how does the sunlight actually warm up the earth and so on. There would be plenty of biology, you know, how will plants and animals react to a changing climate and so on. We could also start to imagine how some of the general capabilities could also be played out here. You know, literacy could involve analysing information, writing reports, critiquing websites, critiquing documents. Numeracy, you might look at some simple climate models and actually try and work out how the numbers work, what does that mean. ICT skills, obviously searching the web, you know, critiquing different websites, different views. I won't try and go into all the details, but I hope you can start to see, we can start with this high-level goal of, you know, what are the risks of climate, you know, change, start to look at how it applies to areas of science, some general skills. But the challenge is you can have all of that, and yet if you're a teacher on Sunday night getting ready to do this on Monday morning, how do you get to a lesson plan? And this has often been one of the challenges. So you can have very rich frameworks for curriculum with all sorts of goals, and yet that final step may not be immediately obvious, or it might be a great deal of work to try and pull all this together. And so to give, and again, just one simple example, if you were looking at this from a learning design perspective, you might say, well, given all those requirements, one way I could help my students come at this would be a role play. And I could ask my students perhaps to take on one of four different roles in society. We could have perhaps a farmer. We could have someone who owns a beachside hotel, you know, a very low-lying beachside hotel. We could have someone who is an electricity generator. You know, that's how they make their money in business. And we could have a politician, and boy, wouldn't that be an interesting role given recent Australian events. So we could take these four roles and we could allocate students into them, and then we could play out a role play scenario where each role needs to go away and investigate the issues of climate change from their role's perspective. You know, what does it mean for a farmer? What does it mean at the levels of biology and chemistry, but also, you know, more general issues, equally for the other players? And so students might individually research this and share the ideas within their role group. If I'm in the farmer group, there might be five other students, and we work out how we're going to research it and come up with our ideas. And then at some point, perhaps after a week, you might bring all the students together in a large discussion forum, and then they each play out their roles, discussing what they found out about climate change, what the risks are to their life or business, and they may also debate the issues, you know, whether they believe certain things are as risky as they appear and so on. And so by having a sort of a quite active task and a more sort of constructivist-oriented task, we can provide a lesson plan around a role play that could bring in many of these curriculum elements and the general skills in a way that you could actually have a practical lesson coming out of it. And, you know, as is important for role play, some of the best learning often happens after you finish the main role play, the main debate or discussion, where students step back from their role and then sort of debrief on what they learned from other people, what surprised them. And it's often those reflections on that at the end of a role play that are most effective. So from a LAMS perspective, if I can just take an example, some of you may recognise this. This is a role play I've used in other contexts, but we can easily imagine it adapted for this, you know, climate risk case, where there's some initial tasks laying out the scenario and the challenge of climate risks. Students are assigned to their four roles, you know, the farmer or the hotel operator, the politician or the electricity generator. They go off and do some individual tasks within their role to research the problem and analyse it. And then they have a forum where they, you know, discuss at more length, debate, present ideas to each other about what are the real risks to them individually from climate change, and maybe, you know, sort of toss some ideas against each other. They may not all agree on it, and go further into the problems of, you know, well, what does the science show us? You know, what is certain, what is less clear? And then finally, after that debate, perhaps for another week, there will be some reflection afterwards. So for me, and this is only, again, at a very high level of summary, but it's a way of trying to say we can have a high-level curriculum framework with both, you know, content goals, in this case science, and, you know, general capabilities, teamwork and so on. And we can translate that down into a specific set of activities, in this case a role play, but it could have been many other ways of teaching. And so this becomes a usable lesson plan that that teacher on Sunday night could actually pick up and run with on Monday and perhaps for the next week or two as a way of trying to teach this topic. So to me, that's sort of the obvious connection of how a curriculum framework sort of cascades down into a practical set of activities. One other aspect of this, if you haven't seen it before, we released a little while ago what we called a competencies editor, but we can talk learning objectives, learning outcomes, you know, whatever your preferred terminology, in LAMS, which allows you to say within this overall sequence, there are a number of sort of goals or objectives that we'd like students to achieve, and we can map those down to individual tasks within the sequence. And so let's say that some of your goals were critical thinking. Well, rather than just saying, oh, this sequence of 14 activities shows critical thinking, we actually say, you know what, within the 14 activities, it's activity 3 and 5 that are the places where students will demonstrate their critical thinking, brackets, or lack thereof, you know, as an example of what they've done. Whereas maybe teamwork, you might see in other activities. And so we can, in fact, imagine a mapping of these, you know, more general capabilities, not just at the level of here's a whole lesson plan and, oh, it's got critical thinking in it, but right down to individual tasks. If you haven't seen it within LAMS, this is what it looks like. Once you've set up a set of competencies, and I've got a simple one here, just critical thinking, domain knowledge, and teamwork, when I create a specific task, in this case chat, I can map that chat tool to one or more of these competencies. Once that's been done, that information is recorded in the LAMS sequence. And so it means, for example, the student record of what they've done now will also show the competencies that were mapped against, you know, the work they've done. So a student keeps a record, say the export portfolio feature, you know, here are all the things I did in the sequence. That will include some statement that says this task was about this area. So we can sort of see this cascading down from very high-level goals, content areas, general capabilities, down to a particular lesson plan you could run at the level of a day or a week or two, even down to the level of the individual activities within that plan. I should say, just for those of you who are wondering, this is not something you would do lightly. If you were just knocking up a quick LAMS sequence for half an hour of work, you know, you're doing it on Sunday nights on its own, you probably wouldn't go to this level of detail because it would be a great deal of work. But you can imagine that if you were developing, say, exemplar sequences for the new Australian National School curriculum or, you know, any other context, it would be worth putting in the extra work to do a very detailed mapping and information of this kind as a sort of exemplar for teachers to look at. So I think, as I said, it's a fairly straightforward idea, you know, from where I sit, that learning design exemplars, you know, and the role play is just one tiny example, we could easily imagine hundreds of these, are ways of showing how a sort of digital lesson plan could be an example of what is asked for in the curriculum framework or guidelines. And so we can imagine the teacher, as I said, late on Sunday night, looking at all these things that are required by a framework and going, but how will I teach that on, you know, Monday morning? Well, if you had some exemplars like this, you could pick them up. You could potentially use them straight away if they'd been built, you know, ready to use. Or it could be that they're sort of ready to adapt. You could take the basic content of them, but tweak topics or tweak some of the activities. But there is a second part to this story, and this is the one I've found most fascinating, and that is that it's not just a one-way street. It's not just that the curriculum framework tells us how to build the learning design exemplars. There's a feedback loop that runs the other way. We did some work a couple of years ago in the UK with these kind of exemplars. And teachers had been looking at the curriculum frameworks and reading these, you know, long lists of bullet points and narrative text to describe what they were supposed to do. And sort of privately they'd say, I don't know what that means. Now, there'd be all these, you know, achieve this learning and so on. But how to translate that into a practical lesson plan was not obvious to the teachers. When we then gave them some exemplars, you know, LAMS sequences just like you've seen, they'd look at that and they'd go, oh, right, you know, they'd look at that. And then they go, ah, now I know what that was meant to mean back in the curriculum framework. When you said critical thinking, I wasn't sure what that might be. But now I've seen an example of that in practice, I've better understood what the framework was trying to get across. And so you get this sort of backwards movement or feedback loop, which is seeing a good exemplar actually helps you to understand more deeply what the curriculum framework was trying to tell you in the first place. And so I think that's an essential sort of benefit here of, you know, curriculum design frameworks and learning design, and why I've suggested it's a kind of virtuous circle, that there's benefits in both directions. I should say, and this was probably obvious, but the kind of exemplars I've got in mind, I don't think of these as prescriptive. It's not that you would have a whole bunch of pre-built things, you give them to teachers and say, you must teach this. You know, that's not anything like my ideal of teaching. They're more illustrative. They're to say, if you were wondering how you might teach this topic, here are some examples. I hope they inspire you to create your own or take different ideas and run with them. So, to try and put it sort of in most obvious and graphical terms, we start with our curriculum frameworks, whatever it is that's expected, and they give us a kind of structure and goals to tell us how we would build our learning designs, LAM sequences and things like it. And they may be ready to use in the classroom straight away. But there's this other sort of, you know, a feedback loop. That is, as teachers have experience with some exemplars, it's not just that it's kind of the pragmatics of, great, I have a lesson plan now for Monday. That's not the only thing that happens. This other deeper layer of, now I better understand what this thing was trying to tell me to do because I've seen a few examples of what that might be. So that was something I wanted to touch on. In many ways, I've touched on pieces of that argument over the years in different contexts, but I've never pulled it all together at once. And so I wanted to just use this opportunity to lay out that connection and the importance for me of, you know, this dimension, that, you know, there is a real benefit for people building and disseminating curriculum frameworks from having exemplars that might help better illustrate, you know, what is really meant by the words on the page. All right. So that's the heavy thought I wanted to lay on you for today. Let me now go to some of the new features in LAMS and hopefully excite you with a few of the cool things we've been up to. We released, there was a major new release of LAMS back in May of this year, version 2.3, and then we've been releasing some minor updates to that over the course since then, and the 2.3.3 patch just came out a few days ago. And if I can play testament to Junde Liu and Luke Foxton, do you want to wave to the guys? Two of our lead programmers who've made that possible, together with our good friend Ernie Giglione, who couldn't join us today because he's somewhere deep in South America. But nonetheless, they have been, you know, leading this work. And so that's just out for those of you who are interested. In the 2.3 release, the major one that came out earlier this year, if you haven't, you know, seen it or been aware of it, it was major improvements in stability and speed. It's much faster and it, you know, works on much less memory. It had some important new tools, and I'll show you a few of those in a second. It had some new editing options, a LaTeX editor for those of you who work with formulae in maths and science. There is an awesome new video recording tool, which I'll talk about in the section. There's some other features in authoring. So there's lots of great new features. If you haven't seen them, the roadmap website will give you a kind of summary of what's all there. But I wanted to just pick out a few of them for those who haven't seen these latest features. Firstly, the assessment tool. You may note LAMS has a simple assessment tool called multiple choice, which just does your classic true, false, or multiple choice. You know, easy, get a score, you're done. But we had a number of people in the community saying, you know what, we need something more powerful, more complicated, that can do other kinds of assessments, you know, multiple responses or different kinds of feedback. So there's now a new tool in LAMS called the assessment tool, which is your kind of rich featured but complicated assessment tool for those who needed, you know, more powerful kinds of assessment. So that's an example. It's got sort of, you know, this kind of lists for dragging. You can do open text answers. And so where you're doing just, you know, true, false, multiple choice, I would say stick to the existing multiple choice tool. It's nice and simple and it's quick to use. But for those special cases where you need something a bit more advanced, there's this new tool as well. Another one of the things that sometimes crops up is that you need to send a message out to your students sort of in the middle of a sequence that's running, separate from what they're actually doing at that moment. And so we built a little sort of instant messaging tool that sits sort of over the top of the LAM sequence and allow you to say, come on, everyone, hurry up, we've only got 5 more minutes to go, or, you know, other messages of that kind that sort of run in parallel to the step-by-step process that people are working through. I wouldn't say you would use it all the time. In fact, you may only use it in particular contexts, but a number of people have been asking for some way to, you know, get a message across to everyone outside the main flow. So that's there as an option now. Its default is off when you launch a sequence, you know, because we didn't want to introduce this to everyone without knowing what was going on. But if you want it within the advanced settings, when you launch a sequence, there's a button you can check to turn on this feature. There are a host of new tools in LAMS which are really excellent. I won't be able to go through all of them, but there's a great image gallery tool now where students can upload images and then have them shared in a kind of a gallery format. And it has things like students can add comments, you know, to them, and you can control the sort of things that they can do with that image gallery. So great for, you know, any courses that work with multimedia, you know, art courses and so on, and certainly plenty of others. There's also, separate from that, an image editing tool called Pixlr, which is effectively someone built a Photoshop tool that runs inside a web page. And so what we worked out is by talking to the Pixlr people, we got that to be a tool inside LAMS. So people can take an image that you give them, or it could have even come from here. Students can then individually open it and modify it within Pixlr and then share it back with the class if that's what you want. So it's a great tool for those who work in sort of image areas. There's now a mind map tool in LAMS. I know there's a lot of mind maps around and many of them have some very complicated features. What we wanted was something very simple and basic that would run inside the LAMS framework. So we now have that as a tool for those of you, who needs mind maps. And it has one really interesting hidden feature. If you look in the Advanced tab, although the mind maps are normally, each student has their own one and works on them, if you want to, you can do a kind of group mind map. So there's actually one single live mind map for all the students who do almost like a wiki-like collaboration of working together on building the one overall mind map. Video recording. This is probably the tool that's caused the most excitement recently. There is now the ability in LAMS to record small bits of video and share them, both as a teacher to students and among students. So there's two ways it plays out. One is, this is the actual video recorder tool, so you can give students a task, which is to record video, share it with each other, and then they can comment on videos, rate them, and so on. And this uses just, if you've got a camera in your PC or in your laptop, it turns that on automatically, can record it immediately, and just works. It's an extraordinary piece of work that some of our guys did earlier this year, and those who've used it find it amazing. I was actually going to try and demo it here, but it didn't have a camera on this thing here. But it's literally as simple as turn it on, press the button, and you start recording, you hit save, and you've got video. The cool thing we do with this, it's not just this individual tool. Every single LAMS activity tool now, when you are doing authoring, has a video recording option. So rather than typing a lot of text to your students saying, this is what I want you to do, you can hit one button, switch on your recorder, talk to your students and say, a couple of minutes, this is what I want you to do, hit save, and you're done. So you don't have to have these very text-heavy sequences if you want. You can have sort of, little narratives of yourself talking to students, and you can put that in any tool. So Q&A, chat, quiz, any of those within that instruction area, there's a little red dot which allows you to switch on the recording feature that you can see here. So it's pretty good. It's using a server that allows for good use of it. It comes from the big wide world of streaming video generally. So yeah. And just one other, briefly, there's a new thing called support activities. This is where you've got an activity which is not in the sequenced flow, but it's sort of background or extra material that you want to provide to your students. So, where you don't want it to actually be a step-by-step task, but there in the background, you can now add them down here as what we call a support activity. From monitoring perspective, there's a new feature called time graphs, if you've not heard or seen this. This allows you to see a record of how long students spent on each activity and how that compares to the average of the class. So this particular view, what you're seeing is the blue line is a student called test one, green is the average for the class. So this student was a little bit slower than the rest of the class in this example, and you can sort of see how they compared. They started off close and got a little bit slower over time. So it can show you things like a student who gets stuck at one point and spends much longer on it than others, you can get a visualization of that within monitoring. We also have the ability to provide this to students as a kind of pie chart to show them across the activities in your sequence, where did you spend relatively more time or less time. So that's the same example and allows the student to see which tasks they spent a lot of time on, which ones they spent not very much. That's also available for portfolio export, so students can actually get a record of that as part of their record of learning. All right, so that's a very quick run-through, but there's some of the recent features in LAMS that are available. There are lots of others. There's one other feature, and this is slightly different, but it's been creating a lot of interest as well, and that is the LAMS framework. Although we built a whole stack of tools to let you do sequences of tools, it was never meant to be just us doing our tools. We'd always hoped we'd be able to bring other tools from other systems, other websites into LAMS, so you can get the benefit from other tools within sequences. Now, we've been doing that for a little while. If you've ever noticed, the GMAP tool, which is Google Maps, is already an example where we got Google Maps running inside a LAMS sequence. But a little while ago, we had some excellent work done again by some of the tech team to take the Moodle tools and get them to run inside LAMS. So if you look here, you'll see this is a LAMS authoring environment, but it's got all the Moodle tools in it. And so that means you can build a sequence of activities with a mixture of both LAMS tools and Moodle tools. Or if you're an avid Moodle user, but you love the sequencing capabilities of LAMS, you could actually build whole sequences with nothing but Moodle tools in them, but with the structured flow of LAMS to step students through those tasks. So that's been out now with a couple of our users for about 6 months, and it's been very successful. Those people who really like using Moodle have used this together in a very effective way. And I should say, it's not even just that you can do sequencing of Moodle tools. We can do the integration to a level that's so deep that we can pull out things like the learner's quiz score on the Moodle quiz. So that Moodle quiz that's in the middle, the score from that decides which branch they go down in LAMS later on. So actually getting data out of Moodle tools, getting it back up to LAMS, and LAMS can use it to decide where you should go next in your branches. So for those of you who are interested in that, we think that's a pretty exciting view, and we hope in the future to do that for other tool sets. You know, if other people will let us work out how to wire their tools into LAMS, we're pretty keen on doing that. All right, so that's a little bit of what's going on in terms of LAMS features. Now let me come to two new products that I wanted to tell you about. Firstly, the LAMS Activity Planner. Many of you have heard us talk about this, and we've been doing sort of some early demos during this year. It's effectively a new system that lives on top of LAMS or above LAMS, and it provides sort of templates, effective templates, good ways to do teaching, as well as there's an editor which allows you to actually then adapt those templates to use them in your courses. I'll show you that in a second. We've decided in this case that we're going to actually release the Activity Planner as a traditionally licensed piece of software, like sort of normal commercial licensing, rather than the open source approach that we've taken with LAMS. The templates we put inside it we will be releasing under Creative Commons licenses, the attribution share-alike non-commercial ones, so you're free to use them, to adapt them and modify them under that license. And let me make sure, just so there's no doubt about this, LAMS will keep being open source. This is in no way an intention or a decision that we want to somehow stop doing LAMS open source. We love it that way and we want to keep doing it. But we wanted to have this extra layer, as a friend of mine said recently, it's sort of like LAMS Pro. You know, it's an advanced extra layer that, you know, for those who are interested, would be able to pay for it. What we're going to do, though, for next year is provide the LAMS Activity Planner for no cost via a hosting site. So for those of you who want to use it and get to use it, you'll be able to use it without cost on an individual basis. And also for those who are large hosting clients or Gold support clients through LAMS International, we're going to give that automatically as a free part of that package for hosting. Other licensing options, come talk to us. You know, we're keen to see it get out and people use it. And so today is sort of like a soft launch for this. We're still very keen for your feedback of what you think is good and what you like about it, and we'll sort of do the main sort of push out of it more widely early in 2010. Let me, instead of showing you screenshots, I actually want to jump out and show a bit of this live for those of you who haven't seen it. So when we add the planner software onto a LAMS server, it just comes up as a new tab on top. If I go into that, what we can have is a set of sort of collections of good teaching templates, good ideas that you might want to consider. And so if I click on one of these just to go into it, what I've got here is a set of sequences for introducing new ideas. This might be good for lecturers when you're lecturing on a new topic, or for students, you know, when you're about to bring up a whole new idea, to get them thinking about it beforehand. And so what we've got is a number of pre-built LAMS sequences that come at this problem from different angles. So if I just pick one of them, identifying misconceptions. One of the problems you might have when you have students, you know, starting in a new topic is they have their own ideas which lead them off in the wrong direction. And so you could have a LAMS sequence to kind of elicit what are these ideas they already have, get them out so that students and you as a teacher can see them, and then you might want to use them as a teaching point to start teaching from. You know, these ideas are actually misconceptions about this topic. Let me tell you more about why that is. So that's the point of this particular example. And what I've got here is, one here is a thing called open questions. So here where we get students to reflect on some open questions using the Q&A tool and then see each other's answers. And the planner provides two options. One is a preview, which allows you as the teacher to see immediately a learner preview, how is this thing structured and how it looks. And so in this case, there's a little welcome. And then what you'll see is it's got little bits in yellow here for you to fill in specific information. So in this case, what is your topic that you're about to introduce to the students? You type that in. Students then go to an initial notebook and reflect on what they know about that topic. And then if I go on, we then have a series of three questions where we get students to reflect on what they know about this topic already, and those answers are shared with each other. So I won't keep going, but that's the basics of the learner view. It's not a very fancy LAMS sequence, but it's sort of a handy way of getting students started with a new topic. So half of what the activity planner is giving you is these sort of pre-built examples of good ways of teaching. But the other half is a new editing interface that's, as I said, it's kind of like a new layer above LAMS. And I think this will be particularly effective for novice teachers, those who are new to LAMS, where you don't want to have to teach them everything about LAMS, the whole authoring environment, every tool, the whole drag and drop thing. What we've effectively done here is got on a single scrolling page, if I just quickly scroll down, you'll see, that's the whole sequence. And so what we've done is basically hidden all the fancy settings, you know, all the transitions, all the advanced settings, all of that's been done for you. And all you have to do is just fill in the text of each particular bit. So in this case, I've got a general introduction, and here, maybe I'm doing what is psychology. So that in. I'll leave that out for the moment. And the first question is, people study psychology because deep down they're a bit crazy. I got that question all the time when I used to teach psychology. I won't keep going with all of that. But let me now show you, having typed that in, I can hit preview. And so it's going to use this interface to actually update the whole sequence. And let me see what I've just done. So I get the pop-ups working. So now we get to see that same learner preview I showed you before, but with those edits that I just put into it, which I lost because it blocked my pop-ups. Okay. Let me just prove that this thing works. So the idea here is we have pre-built templates built by experts or someone who's done it. And we can now start to provide these to teachers, to lecturers, to others. And they don't have to know all about learning design. They don't have to know even that there is a drag and drop environment for LAMS. They could just work straight from this and get started. And so the simple lesson plan of answer this question, look at this website, talk about this issue with your colleagues. That little three-step lesson now need be no more than the teacher filling in three boxes of text, and they've got a running lesson. So we hope that this will provide a way for new people to start trying out learning design and LAMS, and also in the future, experts will be able to create their own versions of these templates. So those of you who work in the support capability for other teachers or educators, you don't have to use my templates. You could in time build your own. Before I leave the demo, let me just point out also, we haven't taken anything away. If you want to go to full author and go down into all the depths, it's all still there. So the point of this wasn't to remove any functionality. It was just to provide a way of dealing with a simplified set if that's all you wanted. And I think what will happen is many teachers, they'll get going, they'll try this out, it'll work well, and sooner or later they'll go, oh, but what if I wanted to add something? And you could say to them, guess what? You can go down another layer and it's all there. Okay, so let me just get to where we are. So that's the basics of the activity planner. Templates of sort of good practice and an easy editing interface to allow people to get going quickly with it. But what we might call the enterprise edition of the LAMS Activity Planner, there are also the features for those of you who work in support roles where you can create your own planners. So with your own template sequences, your own advice, your own structure. And so if you work in schools just in science, let's say, you could have planners that are only about teaching science rather than, you know, my example about teaching, you know, new topics. And so I won't go into all the detail today, but this is just a quick screenshot of the editor where you can set up the text that's in the sort of steps as you go through the planner, you know, what advice, what choices do you give to teachers. And the sequence that I showed you just then is actually just a normal LAMS sequence. So any of you can build the templates that go into the planner by just using LAMS authoring in a normal way, but when you construct the template, do it with a mind to how would this template help a novice teacher, you know, get going. So there's no special technical skill needed here. You can use the combination of normal authoring for LAMS sequences and this information to provide advice to set up, you know, a planner all of your own. So that's the bit that we, you know, sort of think was the enterprise edition. So that's our first one, and I'm very keen for your feedback. I think this area of how do we provide good advice and good templates is a very important but a very long topic for research. You know, I can easily imagine standing here 10 years from now still investigating all the issues of what makes for really helpful templates, what kinds of advice, how much advice, when do you give different sorts of advice. I think we have an awful lot we'll learn about that. So for me, I hope this is a first step towards a rich research program of looking at those issues. Right, that's one. The second one, again, it's quite different. We've had a lot of teachers for a while saying to us, look, I can't get my school or my university to set up a LAMS server, but I just wish I could use it with some of my students. And so we took a leaf out of the book of the sort of cloud services idea, those of you who've heard this phrase of, you know, software that just runs somewhere out there in the cloud, and you don't have to worry about how it works, you could just get it and use it. Well, we've done that to LAMS. So we've now got this thing, we're calling it Lesson LAMS. And Lesson LAMS is a website where any teacher can get a free whole LAMS system with, for one class, up to 30 students, ready to use. The students, you can do it so that you invite them by email, or you can give them a code so that they self-register. It's got all the usual LAMS features, authoring and so on. It will also have the planner. So for those of you who are keen to look at the planner in more detail, you can see it through this new website. And in the future, we hope that we'll do some kind of premium version if you want to pay more money for more students or more classes and so on. But at this point, we want to just be able to help those teachers who say, look, I just wanted to run it with one class of students and it was too difficult to get, you know, someone to install it for me. How do we do that? So we're also launching that today. And again, let me now just do a quick demo of what that looks like. All right, let me just sign up for it. So I'm a new teacher. Someone told me this thing was worth looking at, so I thought I'd have a go at it. Okay. So I've got my account, and I've got a couple of options. I can go and have a test run of this thing and just see what the sequence would look like just running on its own, or I can start setting up accounts for my students. And so you've got these two options. You can have students setting up their own accounts. So in this case, I've already got a sequence. It's a the Amazing Brain sequence, for those of you who have seen it. And I could start that with my students right now. That would be the URL that the students would go to, and they would type in this code to allow them to self-register to go into this sequence. That's it. So you'd have a class running in, what was that, 45 seconds? If you'd rather do your students by hand, so instead of giving them a code, there's an alternative one where you just type in, you know, their name. Polly, Rams. I've already done this demo before. Okay. So now Dolly Lambs, as one of my students, is ready to log in to this. And we can have an email sent out to her that will say, you know, you've been invited to this sequence. Here's the details. Here's the URL. Or alternatively, you can just, once you start the lesson, if you're not using email, so you can have, again, a URL. So the teacher who's doing this in the classroom just puts that URL up on the board. tell students what their password is, and you're ready to go. So we've done what we can within limits to try and make it really easy to just find the sequence you like the look of, get it running with a class, and off you go. So that's the kind of launch process for our Lesson Lambs site. And then MyLambs is sort of a new simplified kind of monitoring and authoring page that comes with this site. So here I can see I've got my sequence. They just started running. That's up the top there. I could go into it as a learner. I can also go into monitor and see students' progress. So all the standard things you know from Lambs, but in a kind of very simple, easy-to-use option. And then down here, when it comes to creating a new sequence, I can author one from scratch using normal authoring. I can go into the planner and choose a pre-built template to get me started, or I can upload a file. If you've got a Lambs sequence file from Lambs Community or somewhere else, you can pull that straight in. So this, we hope, will be a new way to get people started, particularly those who are new or who are in an environment where, for whatever reason, they can't easily get Lambs today. We'll, you know, make this freely available so people can get going fast. And fingers crossed, that'll help a new collection of people get going with Lambs. So the last bit of that I want to mention, I'm conscious I've run out of time, is we sort of imagine that in the near future, we haven't finished this feature yet, but we want to be able to do a kind of embed feature for Lambs sequences, a bit like the YouTube embed feature. You know, you've seen on a YouTube video, you can get a little bit of code where you can get the YouTube video straight into your web page. So imagine now you had a blog, a kind of education blog, and you had a sequence you'd found. You say, hey people, I found this great sequence. I thought you might like to look at it. Well, you could sort of embed the authoring view of that straight into your web page. You could open a learner preview immediately from there, so no login. Just press one button, bang, and see what would a learner see in that sequence. And if you thought, yeah, I'd like to look at this some more, you could open it straight into Lesson Lambs and have a look at it in authoring and run it with your students. And what I hope this is going to do is provide a way for us as teachers more easily to say, hey, you know, this example of a lesson plan is a way of teaching something that I think is a good idea, and for others to go, yeah, that's pretty nifty, I wouldn't mind using that myself, and to sort of try and make that a much more streamlined process. And apart from the kind of direct benefits of actually, you know, using that, there's something else I think it might do, and I'll end with this today. In my time in education, I've seen some pretty passionate debates about pedagogy. Have others in the room seen? Heated even. You know, bitter even sometimes. No, never. And the problem is, in some of those debates about pedagogy, it often seems to me that the people who are disagreeing are sharing ideas with each other, but in a kind of narrative way where they're just sort of talking through each other. There's nothing concrete that allows them to say, oh, right, this thing you're trying to say to me, you mean this sort of lesson plan, you know, this way of teaching, whereas I mean this other way of teaching. So this lack of a concrete example makes it hard for us to debate different pedagogical approaches. And so there's a part of me that wonders if we had the Lambs authoring and made it really easy to embed examples and then really easy to get a demo account through this Lesson Lambs, might that help us to sort of have a new revolution in our debates over pedagogy, where what you would say to one another is, show me. You know, this, can you show me an example of a sequence that would illustrate this point you're so passionate about? Oh, right, that's what you're about. What I was trying to do was, here's my sequence. You know, this is what I'm trying to convey. And so try and turn some of our more theoretical debates into something a bit more concrete by illustrating an example of what we mean and whether that might take us forward in some of the more heated debates. I don't think this will solve all pedagogical acrimony, but it might at least help to make a bit clearer to ourselves. When we say, I mean this type of teaching, an example might make that clearer to someone else to understand, and then for them to say, well, the reason I think differently is because of this other way of teaching, and be able to show an example too. So we will see. All right, just briefly to end off with, a lot of people make Lambs possible, and I'd like to quickly acknowledge them. Leanne Cameron, where's Leanne? Up the very back. Thank you so much, Leanne. This conference is not possible without you, and I think a warm round of applause. I'd also like to thank Ernie, who leads our tech team, and although he's in deepest, darkest South America at the moment, he does a phenomenal job. And as I mentioned, Junde, Luke, Jeremy Page, and you know, tech guys of the past have also done an awesome job. Renee Vance, Sue Nam, Bill Chan also have done an amazing thing to help us with organising this conference and also the administration of Lambs over the years. our various partners for LAMS, the international partners I've mentioned, the 90-odd translators who translate LAMS into the 28 language. I'm enormously grateful to them. Macquarie University for all its support, the Commonwealth Government and other funding agencies who've helped us with funding over the years, the many members of the LAMS community, of which many of you would be those who do, you know, great things with LAMS, and everyone who gives LAMS a go. And I must say, I know many of you have challenges in your local context to sometimes persuade people why you should give LAMS a go, and I'm very appreciative for all that you sort of, you know, go into bat for LAMS in doing that. And lastly, my wife Bronwyn, who's actually here today, and my children Zoe and Sebastian. All of them deserve great thanks for putting up with me. So, thank you everyone for joining us for the conference. It's been great to see you all again. I look forward to your feedback on both the activity planner and lesson LAMS in the future, and wish you a safe travel home.